Well, good evening, everybody. It is good to see you. Hope you had a great, soggy day. But boy, we needed that rain, didn't we? How many of y'all got the big storm last night? I'll tell you, that was... I was talking to Larry this afternoon. I said, as Don McVeigh used to say, my father-in-law, that was a toad strangler last night. So anyway, I need to read something right off the bat. If y'all will remember, at the last business meeting, we voted to basically refinance our building loan. The way the state of West Virginia looks at that, that's not a refinance, it's a new loan. So in order to abide by the laws of the state and to be able to get this thing completed, one of the last things that we need to do is we need to read a statement at two services that we are entering this new loan. So it was approved at our February business meeting to take advantage of lower interest rates and refinance the church loan. The amount of the loan is $605,868.73, with a 150-month term. The interest rate dropped roughly 2.5%, which will save us around $40,000 just in this first 5 years. So I've signed off that I've done this. Larry, before you leave tonight, she's got a place that you witnessed that I read that, okay? And we're going to put that on file so that we've got everything, all right? Julie has, she can't hear me. So I don't know if we've got something. Yeah, I don't have any volume up here either. I should have been hearing myself. There's a comment in the back.
I don't normally repeat stuff.
I might have you do it so that Julie can hear it. Anyway, all right, I'll tell her that we've got ourselves on that. But anyway, and that's really just for us. That doesn't have to go online for that to be legal. So we're all good there. So anyway, good evening. We are taking a look. We're going to do a six-week study. Now, of course, this is going to be, we'll have a week off with business meeting. And then the week after that is Vacation Bible School, so we'll have that Wednesday off as well, and we'll come back this is the 9th, 16th, 20th, we'll come back on the 30th and do this again. Be in prayer for Vacation Bible School. Judy has really been working hard on that. I've really dumped a lot on her plate, but Judy is quite capable. She's the magic behind the mirrors, I'm telling you right now anyway, because she's the one that keeps me sort of straight. I know y'all, that's just in VBS, right? So anyway, but I appreciate her and what all she's done and what she continues to do. So anyway, I take it you got me now because I can hear me. So anyway, let's open up with prayer. Don't forget, if you're online, you can put your prayer requests on at any time, and we will take a look at those, and I'll announce them to the group, all right? So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the rain today that we got, Father, that we've just we've really needed. And Father, we know there are other parts in our country that desperately need the rain as well. And so, Father, we just pray that you would send some of this their way. And, Father, that they would be able to recover from this severe drought that they are in. Father, tonight we pray that you would be here with us as we take a look at evangelism. And, Father, how we all take a part in that. And, Father, how it is all our responsibility as Christians to share the good news of your Son. So, Father, just help us to take a look at that this evening. And then, Father, also as we go into prayer time for those who are in need, and, Father, also giving you thanks and praise for what you've done for us. So, Father, bless our time together this evening. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, so this first lesson is called The Pursuit of the Lost. You know, one of the points that Mark made Sunday in his message was how when we have such a great gift, that we keep talking about what a great gift that we have in salvation, but yet we tend to not share about the gift. We tend to keep hold of it, and we don't share it. How many of you all, you go somewhere, you've got a favorite restaurant, okay? How many of y'all have never told your friends about that restaurant? Got a favorite beach that you go to? How many of y'all have never told your friends about favorite beach you go to? Because, you know, I think about Curry Beach, you know, where we've gone since I was in ninth grade. Not only do I share about it, I took the youth group down there on a mission trip one time. And we did a mission trip down there. And I showed them, listen, I showed them what a beach vacation was really all about. It's not like going to Myrtle and fighting for a spot down there and, you know, this is my territory. When we first started going to that beach, we were in an old house. And you might see 50 people in a mile radius. And that was on a weekend. I mean, it was you could do whatever you wanted to down there. It was awesome. It still is awesome. We have to go to a little more crowded area, but it's still an awesome place to go. But one of the examples that I have down there, we found, I don't know how long we'd been going down there, and I don't know when this restaurant opened up, but it's called Freddy's. No, it's not named after Dad. It's really an Italian restaurant. However, they've got a full page of pork chops. And pork chops are about that thick. I mean, they're awesome. I get one called the Rum Runner. And it has molasses and peaches and like a molasses barbecue. How many of y'all ate before this? You're going to want to after this. They've got one with apple. I think it's apple pecan. Apples on it with pecans. What's that? For that one restaurant, and listen, Bill, here's the deal. I used to, you can get one or you can get two, and I used to get two because, you know, I had a high metabolism. I mean, you know, I didn't put on weight or anything. I'd get two of those pork chops, and about the time I'd get halfway through that second one, I'd almost started wanting to cry because I knew it was going to be a year before I could get them again. I mean, it just, they're so good. Yeah, well, not from Curry Beach. Jalen had a cheer competition in Myrtle one year, and we drove over. It's about an hour and a half drive. We drove over so that we could eat at Freddy's. Now, the other restaurant we go to down there that you'll understand now, Bill, I'm right with you. I know what you're talking. There's one called Provisions. And if you ever watched the Forrest Gump movie, where they had was it Bubba Gump was the name of the company, and they had that where you could eat and it was just out in the open. That's the way Provisions is, and we love going there. The shrimp is fantastic, just good stuff. We tell people about that all the time. We tell them about those two spots. We used to go to a place called Something Fishy. Now there's a place we go to in further up into Wilmington called the Boathouse. All of the great seafood, both of those places. But you don't keep stuff like that. When you're close to people that have the same interests that you do, or you just they're really, really good friends, you share that stuff with them because you want them to know about it. You want them to experience that. So when we've accepted the greatest gift ever given to man, why do we keep quiet about it? Now, usually somebody that accepts Christ right off the bat, they're all excited about it and all that. And then either somebody says something that sort of squashes that flame, or they just don't get, you know, you just lose that fire. And then we just back off of it. We just don't do it. What are the hang-ups that we have with sharing our salvation? What's our problem? Part of it is a lot of times people believe evangelism is the responsibility of the pastors or the evangelists or whoever. But, you know, you take a look at Scripture, and we're going to be taking a look at some of that tonight. We're all charged with winning the lost. If you are a Christian, you have been given that task. We're all supposed to be sharing the gospel story. It is far too great a task to be relegated to just one group of people within the church. And we all need to be doing it. So tonight, we're going to be mainly looking at two different groups of scriptures. We're going to start out in Luke 15. In Luke 15, 1 through 10, it says this, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over the one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." We know both of these as the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. In the beginning of the passage, the Pharisees are complaining because Jesus is spending time with the sinners. He's spending time with the tax collectors. Of course, the Pharisees, we know about them, they felt that they were better than these people. We don't need to be around them. Their sin might rub off on us. We need to stay where we are. They were so hung up on who they were and the position that they held within the church that they didn't want to bother with those who really needed the most help of all. They were so busy looking at how good they were that they couldn't see the lostness of the people around them. In these two parables, Jesus was trying to show the Pharisees they were the ones who should be responsible for going out among the lost and trying to show them the love of God. However, once again, if you think about it, the Pharisees were probably more lost than what the sinners and the tax collectors were, if there's such a thing as being more lost. I don't know. At least the tax collectors and the sinners recognized that they had a problem. The Pharisees thought they were fine. They thought everything was good. While we as Christians at one point were the lost sheep who was found, we need to remember the joy and the celebration that goes on in heaven when a lost person is found. You know, the Pharisees, we think about the 99 that are in the field, and you could almost, if you wanted to, you could consider those who have already been saved. They were there. They were safe. He had them in an open field, but this one was lost somewhere, and you know, the shepherd had to go find it and try to figure out where the sheep was. But the other 99, they were out there in the open. They were together. They were there, you know, with each other, which would have been a little bit more intimidating for animals that might have tried to have attacked them since they were all there together. But at one point, we were that lost sheep out in the woods, weren't we? And the rejoicing in heaven went on for us when we were saved at that point. And it goes on when that other lost sheep is found, when it happens. When a sinner condemned to hell accepts eternal life, there is huge rejoicing that goes on in heaven. Do you feel responsible for other people who don't know Christ? The parable of the coin, you know, one of the things, I didn't think about this. But the parable of the coin, in the homes at this time didn't have a whole lot of windows in them. So you went into the home, it was pretty dark. So that's the reason why it talks about lighting the lamp. But then also, it was dirt floors. So when it says she's sweeping around, she's sweeping the floor, the dirt around, to see if she can see that coin move within the dirt. Never thought about, you know, some of the, I don't know if you wanted to call it some of the basics of that story or some of the things that were working in that parable there and the way the woman was having to look for that coin. But she wanted that, you know, she had worked for that coin. She wanted to find it. You know, back then that was a huge amount of money, and to lose one of them would have been, you wanted to find it. It's not like losing a penny today, right? So do we feel responsible for that lost sheep or the lost coin? We should. We are responsible for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. Once again, the responsibility is not for a select group of people. It's for all of us as Christians. It is up to all of us who profess to be followers of Christ to share that good news. A couple years ago, we did that series called Who's Your One? You remember that? And how we chose someone who we knew wasn't a Christian, and we prayed for that person, we focused on that person. And if the person was somebody who was local, we worked to either have an actual chance to where we could share Christ with them, or at least have a gospel conversation with them to where we could discuss it. If the person was located somewhere else where that wasn't possible, we prayed that God would put people around them that would be able to do that and have conversations with them. You know, really, that's a program or a mission or whatever that we really ought to keep going. It shouldn't just be, you know, oh, I got my one saved and now I'm done. We should move on to another one and make that person our focus. We should just keep that thing going and not let it die. We just need to continue with that. In the next section of Scripture, we're going 11 through 32, same chapter. He said, there was once a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Now, you got to remember, he's the younger son, right? So, according to Jewish practices, the older son, you would have split that into thirds, and the older son would have gotten two-thirds, the younger son would have gotten one-third because of their position in the family. So, just a little bit there to tell you about that as well, okay? So he divided the property among them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt passion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, and killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." The parable of the prodigal son, we know this one as. Once again, as we read the verses, we should never get tired of this particular story, because what a story of redemption this story is, about the son leaving and then coming back. He left the father and the safety of his home to go out in the world and see what was out there. He took all that was promised him as an heir. And after he squandered it and hit hard times, he ends up having to eat the slop of the pigs. And we all know that pigs were an unclean animal in the Jewish faith. So not only is he in amongst the pigs, but he's eating the food that they're eating. So he decides to go back to his father and offer himself as a laborer instead of being his son. So when he returned to his father forgave him and restored him to the status he had been before he left. You know, the son never thought that the father would forgive him to the point where he would have a place in the house again. Not only did he have a place in the house, the father gave him the best robe. Go get the best robe. Go get the ring. Go get the signet ring for our family. Go get sandals for his feet so that he doesn't... You understand that laborers were in bare feet. Go get the sandals for my son so that he doesn't walk around without sandals. Make him a full-fledged member of the family again now that he has come back. The older brother, upset, just ticked off. He'd never left the father. He's there. "I've worked in the fields. I've fed the animals. I've cut the crop. We've reaped. We've done all this. I've always done what you've told me to do. Why do you do all this for him when he left you? He left you and could have cared less. Why does he get all of this?" He was so self-righteous in what he had done that he couldn't see what it meant to the family that his brother had returned. You know, in the scripture it says that the father saw him coming from a long way off, right? So the father had to have been looking for him. How many days did he go out? We'll just say, did he go out the front door of the house and take a look off into the distance to see if he saw his son coming home? That tells you how much he loved his son and how much it bothered him that his son was not there. And so to have that relief taken off of you, knowing that your son is not only safe and alive, but he's back home with you and there with you, that was huge. But the older son, who had been there the whole time, was so indignant about his status and what he had done and how he had worked and all that he couldn't see that. How many times do we think, that somebody who has lived, and some people think this way, somebody who has lived an awful life and right on their deathbed accept Christ, and there are people that will think, well, how is that fair? Or when you've got a serial killer like Ted Bundy who accepts Christ in prison and will be in heaven one of these days with us. I've shared this before. Maybe some of y'all have heard it. Maybe you haven't. We did a series here at the church called Right from Wrong. And one of the videos is James Dobson. And we did it with the youth. We did it as a whole church. And one of the videos that we had that we watched with the youth, James Dobson is actually interviewing Ted Bundy. And they cut this part out. So it didn't interfere with the interview, but they're interviewing and the lights dim. And James Dobson looks around, he says, guys, what's going on? What caused that surge or what caused that dip? Bundy was the one that answered, and he said, they're testing the electric chair for me. He knew he was that close to death, but yet he was talking about his salvation experience with James Dobson. So hopefully he could reach people for Christ, saying that if the Lord can save me, one of the lowest of low peoples, who else can he save? There's nobody that he can't save. There's nobody that he can't reach. And Bundy was doing that right before he was put to death. I think this whole example here should teach us that salvation is open to anyone. We don't need to be in the seat of the judge. That person is so bad, God can't do anything with that. This person's lifestyle is so questionable, God can't do anything with that. This person is so wrapped up into drugs, that's just too much. Once again, what are we doing? We're putting God in that nice little comfy box that we like to keep him in. And I think another thing that we do a lot of times too is that we think people have to get everything right. We're guilty of this, that people have to get things right before they come to Christ. They come to Christ, then God starts working on them. God takes us as we are. And then he begins working and shaping us into who he needs us and wants us to be. We also need to think about this as far as the seat of judgment when other Christians fall in their walk. We shouldn't be the ones judging them for the sin they have committed. We should be part of the family who is thrilled. They have come back and become part of the crowd who is in the party welcoming them back. We talk about the backslidden and all that. And when they come back into the church and all that, we shouldn't be sitting in the seat of judgment when they come back. We should be the ones that are celebrating and being welcoming and thanking them, but thanking God for what he's done and how he's brought them back. If we aren't careful, we can look at others in their sin and forget that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This isn't anything that happens once and we are done. This is something that more than likely happens on a daily basis that we sin. It's only through the blood of Christ and God's forgiveness that we have been provided the opportunity to be a part of God's family. And it is that sin, it is that forgiveness, it is that asking, God, I'm sorry I failed you today in this way, and God forgives us. He makes us righteous through the blood of his Son. We find ourselves becoming self-righteous if we're not careful. If we find ourselves doing that, all we need to do is just take one good hard look in the mirror and remember where we came from, where we are, and how we are going to get to where we want to be one of these days, and realize how all that is possible. And it's all possible not through anything that we did, but it's all possible through the gift that God gave to us in his love for us. It's only through his grace and forgiveness that we have this opportunity. Matthew, we're moving on to Matthew 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is known as the Great Commission. As believers, we are to go. Go is an action word. There's very little left to interpretation in that two-letter word, go. For being so small, it carries a lot of weight. Go. Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples. Before you can disciple someone, they have to have accepted the gift of salvation God has offered them through the blood shed by Jesus on the cross. The cross. We have to have accepted that gift as well. I mean, I guess I'm sort of taking that for granted that we have. We need to share our testimony with individuals. Sometimes we think that we have to quote scripture and do all this and everything, but the best story that you can tell them is what God has done in your life. You need to share your, I would share your salvation experience with them, and then I would come up with something that God has done in your life recently. You know, it's good to share your entire testimony at times, but when you're sharing your own experience with someone and you've got a limited amount of time, they want to know what God's done for you lately. They don't want to know. You know, I've shared this story before about how God took me out of the crowd that I was hanging around when I was in sixth grade with that kidney disease, and that's probably the reason why I didn't get into a bunch of trouble in junior high. Another thing was is that I had a healthy fear for the paddle that was in the principal's office at the time. I also had a healthy fear for what would happen to me when I got home. However, they don't want to hear about what God did for me in sixth grade. They want to hear what God's done in my life recently. How has God worked in your life and what has He done for you? When you can show them that, it carries weight. We witness to people as individuals. We as the church can make disciples out of the new believers as well as older believers. You remember we talked about how we're all on this journey. And we're all learning, and God is continuing to work on us, and He is continuing to mold us. If we think God is done with us at some point, that's when you need to take a good long look in the mirror we were talking about to recognize the self-righteousness that we have. God will not be finished with us until we come to Him face to face, and we meet Him face to face. That's when things will change for us. Saying that, some of us who are still new Christians are on baby food. Truth of the matter is, some of us that are older Christians are still on baby food. We've never gone beyond the milk and the baby food. However, there are others that are eating food that's more substantial. We also need to make sure we are open to all. We weren't called to witness to those who are just like us. We were called to go to the nations. What does the word nations mean to you? To me, it means everyone. It didn't exclude one nation in that, did it? We need to go to everyone. Everyone means everyone. We also have the promise at the very end of this scripture that Jesus will be with us through the Holy Spirit to the end of the age. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. What a huge promise and gift we have in the last half of that verse in the book of Matthew. So some questions for y'all. Because I figure one of these first two will hit everybody in here. What about evangelism frightens you? For some of y'all, that's where you're at. There's just a fright in there to share about Christ and what He's done. What about evangelism enlivens you? What about it lights your fire? what gets you excited about it. If you don't think you know any lost people, what should you do about that? And then the last question to mull over, how can we encourage one another to make our lives about seeking the lost and sharing the gospel with them? These are just, those last questions are just for y'all to think over and see what you can come up with. One of the things that, I'm probably going to start stomping on toes here, so curl them up a little bit, all right? In your Sunday school classes that you attend, when's the last time you had someone saved in your Sunday school class? Or that you brought somebody who's not a Christian to your Sunday school class? When's the last time you brought a non-Christian to church with you? Understand, I'm curling my toes as well. I hate when you point fingers at people. You know why? What do they tell you? How many are pointing back at you? Two-letter word. Go. If we are going to remain faithful to what our calling is as Christians, we are to go. And we need to do that. And I'll be honest with you, as a leader, I need to be setting the example. And I need to be doing a better job. So that's being honest, and there you go. So hold me accountable, folks. Oh, and this went on air too. But that's okay. We need to be doing this. So anyway, prayer requests you all might have tonight. Y'all that are online, I don't see anything on. Do you see anything, Alan? I don't see anything at this point. Prayer requests in here. Dave's got the microphone.
Yeah, I just want to praise the Lord that I'm starting to get better.
Amen.
He is doing wonders with me. So, and for a plug, ladies Bible studies Monday nights, it's awesome. Absolutely awesome.
And it's Donna Thompson that's leading that, not Donna Lemon. Miss Vida?
Tiffany's son, Sammy, he has been coughing up his toenails for the last 3 days. And it's almost nonstop. He went to a doctor, and they gave him steroids. Then he went to another doctor, and they gave him antibiotics. And he just can't stop coughing. So now that he went to a doctor today, and he said, get him off all those medicines. And he said, I think it's an allergy. So and there was a couple friends she talked to, and she left the windows open and everything so they get air in there. And they said that's the worst thing you can do if he has an allergy. Just shut him up and don't let him be outside, which is going to be hard. But he can't get into the allergy doctor until the middle of July. So just pray for him and pray that he will get better. And he's had the COVID test today, so to make sure he didn't have COVID. So that's not it.
Okay.
But I appreciate your prayers.
Absolutely. They'll probably find that allergen about the time it's done. Bless his heart. Others this evening. Miss Betty?
Remember Evan. He's in grad school, so he's at WVU, but he's had a rough few days. I don't know all the details or anything, but I think he just needs our support and our prayers.
Just to let you know, I've mentioned to you about Jalen and some of the struggles she's been having and all that, and Betty mentioning Evan. I've got my kid back. She sounds so much. I said, I wish I could play a recording of her voice at Mother's Day and just the fear that she had and where we're at today. But another answer to prayer was, is that they did move her to the day shift. So she'll be able to start sleeping normal, which will hopefully help her as well. And she's still got those classes, but she seems to have a handle on those right now as well. I mean, she seems to be keeping up with them and all that. She'll tell you, now I'm not going to worry about A's. Okay, Jalen, talk to the wall because I've heard this before. But anyway, no, she's in a lot better place and a lot better way. So just thanking God that he got her through this. So anyway, others? Frederick? Papa?
I talked to my sister, Kay, this morning, and it was her husband who had been having prayer for it. Has the COPD and lung problems, and it's just very, very in very bad health, also on dialysis. They had a problem with the medicine he's going to take. It was like thousands of dollars. She just didn't see how on earth he's going to be able to work through it. They received news that they filed through Medicare. They're taking care of it, plus the balance will be taken care of by their supplemental. And they're having a nurse that's coming tomorrow with the medication to teach them how to. But they were just rejoicing and praising God that that has come through. And at least there's a hope for them now in him being able to be somewhat on the road back to recovery. So thanking the Lord for the news with Eugene Mendes.
Continue to remember Wanda Davis. Looks like she'll be having surgery tomorrow to help remove that fluid and put some drains in and all that. So that's a good step in the right direction for her. Anyone else? Oh, Lisa Wortley. I'd sent her a text today. I'm hoping that by not getting a response that they were able to do the biopsy on her kidneys. But Friday we had our what we called the Bobcat Bash, and we couldn't park in the side parking lot. So she had to come from the front parking lot, and her room's in the back part of the school. She got from the parking lot into the cafeteria and sat down at the first table because she couldn't go any further. Her daughter is expecting, Lisa's expecting her first granddaughter through her baby girl. But anyway, they had their shower. I have a feeling she was just trying to last and make it through that shower. And then she went into the hospital Sunday. But extremely high blood pressure, retaining fluid, and just kidneys not functioning the way they should. And they're still really at a loss why all this is going on. But Lisa's the one, oh goodness, it's probably been 15 years ago that she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And they tried an experimental treatment with her, and you know she's considered cancer-free now. She was involved in that car wreck out here 3 years ago where she got T-boned and basically crushed her bone in her leg, and she still walks with a limp from that. I mean, she has really been through it. She's I'm from April to June, I think, older than her. And she's just really been through the mill as far as health. So just continue to remember her. So, Dave?
Yeah, remember Kevin, Eva, Melissa, Eliza, and me. You know what team we're on.
Yeah.
Pastor Parrish.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys. Anything? Oh, Miss Donna's got another one.
Can I speak loud?
No, they won't hear you online. Oh, really?
The exercise.
emphasizes what she said. Sandy Lawrence is having a time. She was having real low blood pressures on Monday, had to go back in and get another transfusion. So remember her. And also my Aunt Mary Rose, she's back in the hospital again. So okay. Remember her. She's not doing good.
You know, I had thought they had lightened things up at the hospitals, but it's still one visitor per day. So if you go visit someone, you burn the opportunity for somebody else to go in. Because I was going to go in and check on Lisa. And when I found that out, I thought, no, she's got family in the area. So I just text her and check on her and see how she's doing. So anyway, any other prayer requests or praises? I can praise that today was my first day off from school. And I spent it down here with Holly and Larry, right? And Miss Barb's here. All right. Mark's preaching Sunday, so remember him in your prayers. I'll be back up here on Father's Day and the Sunday after that. So just continue to remember Mark and I as we continue to fill in. And then July 4th, Eric Ramsey will be here from our state. He's our state exec. So you can already start remembering him in prayer as well. So anyway, let's pray and we'll finish out the night, all right? Father, we just thank you once again for this evening. Father, we thank you for the gift that we have received through your Son as Christians. Now, Father, I just pray that you would help us to take what you have given us and share that with others around us. Father, I'm talking to myself tonight as much as I am anyone else. And Father, I just pray that you would help me to be willing to go and invite those around me to come and hear about the love that you have for them. Father, to see that the only difference between us and them is that we've been forgiven through the blood of your Son. And Father, that we all have our faults, we all have our flaws. But Father, you don't give up on us. You continue to work on us. And Lord, I just pray that you would just help us to share that with those. Father, I just pray that we would be able to show people love instead of judgment. Father, that's your seat. Father, help us to express your love to those folks around us. And Father, not only that, but then once again, sharing about salvation and leading them to accept the gift that was given to us so that we could give it to others. Father, I just pray that you would help us to be sensitive in what we share. Father, knowing what to say and when to say. And then, Lord, when a decision is made, that we don't take the credit for that, but, Father, it's the working of your Holy Spirit that has convicted them of their sin and brought them to that point to where they accept you as Lord and Savior. So, Father, just use us as the tools that you need us to be and help us to be willing to be used. Father, for the requests that were mentioned tonight, Lord, we want to remember those that are in medical need, and Father, just that you'd be with the doctors that are tending to them, or Father, maybe even just the situation would resolve itself to where it wouldn't be an issue anymore, and Lord, that you would just restore folks to health. Father, through the doctors and their expertise and the knowledge that you have given to them, Father, we just pray that you would help them to use that for the ones that need that as well. Father, for those who have lost loved ones over the past week and further back. Father, we continue to pray for them, and Lord, just pray that you would continue to comfort, and Lord, that you would continue to just show your love to those, and Father, that we could be used with that as well. And Father, for those that are in spiritual needs, Father, those that have never accepted you, Father, those that are just going through a storm right now, Father, or for those that are backslidden, Lord, we lift them up to you, and Lord, just pray that you would just, for those that are backslidden or need you, Father, once again, that your Spirit would work on them and that you would place people around them that would just express your love to them, and Father, that they can see that they need to either accept you as Lord and Savior or, Father, come back. And Father, for those that are going through the storms, Lord, that they would just look to you and rely on you. And Father, that they would rely on you for their strength. And Father, that they can feel that and know that you're there. Father, for Mark, I lift him up as he continues to prepare for Sunday. And Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to soften his heart to the message that you would have him to share with us Sunday. And Father, as we come, that we can continue to prepare ourselves as well, that we can come into this place and, Lord, just focus on you and your word and, Father, what you would have to say to us. But, Father, that we can also lift your name in praise and give back to you Sunday morning as well. And, Father, for our pastor search committee, Lord, I continue to lift them up to you. Father, I just pray that in the days ahead, Father, that you would just continue to help them to become closer together as a group. And Father, that you would just already now be helping them to come to a consensus on where we are heading. And Father, for the one that you have to fill this pulpit that will be coming, Lord, we lift that person up as well. And Lord, once again, we just pray that you would be placing the Parkersburg area in his heart and mind as he'll be coming to this area to serve you. Father, thank you so much for what you continue to do for our church. Father, I just thank you for the leadership that is here. And Lord, just pray that as we are going through this time without a pastor, Father, that you would just help the leaders keep their hearts and minds even more closely attuned to you as we continue to seek your will for your church here as we try to reach this area for you. So, Father, be with us tonight as we leave and as we go into our ministry fields. Father, help us to be that light that people need to see. And once again, Father, help us to be your mouthpiece and allow your Spirit to work in and through us so that people can come to know you. Father, thank you so much. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. So, don't forget, next week, church business meeting, that will only be in person, so we will not be online next week. Then this coming Sunday, 9 o'clock in person, 10:30 with Mass and all still on. So, and we'll be online as well at 10:30. So thank you all so much. Have a great evening.